If you have your Bibles tonight, let's just take a few minutes. We're going to just look in Galatians chapter 1. Very familiar scriptures we've preached out of here many times. And that's why I keep going back to it. Establishing truth is a lifelong work for the preacher of the gospel. Establishing truth in God's people is a lifelong work. Amen. Used to be many years ago, always looking for something new to preach, something new. And Doug could relate to that, something new because, well, we got to keep moving on to other things. And you can cause preacher burnout by that at times because the preacher is always looking for something new because people don't want to hear the same old thing because, well, we preached on that 5 years ago. If I preach on something again, people remember it and they'll go, oh, he's just repeating himself. But I have learned these last 8, 9, 10 years the importance of being a little repetitive because it never comes out twice the same anyway. The Holy Spirit is always, taking what we share, even if the gospel or the text we use, always a different way that God is trying to bring it out. But you and I, we are in perilous times. We are definitely in perilous times, as Paul taught. And I love Paul's ministry to the church. I can see his ministry in his writings. When you read the writings of the Apostle Paul, his passion for the local church, his passion that every believer become established in the grace of God in Jesus Christ. And not just become established, but being able to function under the law of spirit of life, which is in Jesus Christ. He was emphatic on this. In fact, wherever Paul preached, he would preach that message so much so that when Paul got done with you and you got done with Paul, you were on the same page. Or you just didn't endure it. You would have been long gone before Paul got that established. But Paul realized that if he doesn't get the truth established in the hearts of God's people, then his labor was in vain. In fact, his writings would bear that out. He questioned at times, was my ministry in vain? And then other times he says, well, it was not in vain, because he began to see the fruit when these believers he wrote to came under testing, God's testing, and realized that they came through in truth. You see, it's one thing to learn a truth, but it's another thing to be tested in that truth by God Almighty. And God will establish us in the faith, but he will test us in the faith. And in fact, Paul would say many times in his writings, such as he would say things like that you be rooted and grounded in the faith. See, continue in the faith. And by doing that, we realize that there's a power source that we tap into and that every believer can function in. It's called grace, the grace of the gospel. Grace is not an evil thing. Grace is the heart of what God has extended to you personally, that his power can lift you above anything this life could hurl at you on a daily basis and bring you through with victorious power. Amen? That no matter what the enemy of your soul, no matter what circumstances, there is a power. There is help and strength, an undergirding of your very soul that'll keep you and I through the most difficult seasons of what this life can hurl your way. Amen. And so Paul knew that if he could get the truth and the gospel established in the hearts of his hearers in those churches he established, no matter what Satan would throw at them, life would throw at them, temptation would throw at them, they were going to come through and one day they'd get out of this life alive in the arms of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I heard a man today stop by the house and looking at some of our trike stuff that we do. And a very decent gentleman. He goes to a local church in a local community here, maybe 15 minutes away from us. And he's saying how that church is running 2,000 people. Well, I know the church he's talking about. And that church has played secular music in the lobby while church services are gathering together and such. I mean, they've gone that direction, the seeker sensitive. So I know what he's talking about. But, you know, when you go that direction and that many people start flooding to the church, that doesn't mean it's revival. We had an interesting thing tonight before I get into the scripture. Liz and I come into church for prayer meeting tonight, and it was about 5:45 here. And all of a sudden, we come up the street, and we're not expecting this, but the streets are full of parked cars. Our parking lot is full of cars. The street over here was full of cars. And I'm thinking, whoa, what's going on? I mean, just caught just for a, then I got remembering, okay, it's the Douglas School over there. Probably a parent orientation or something tonight, or registration or something like that. But I thought, maybe that's prophetic, amen, that the day will come that the preacher can't even find a place to park a car, amen, because so many people want to come and hear the word of God, amen. And, you know, so wouldn't that be, that'd be a sovereign move of God, you know. But I thought, boy, that was kind of a neat feeling. It's kind of a weird feeling, but a neat feeling, amen. So, but we're believing that the Lord is touching lives and hearts. Sunday morning, God moved on a few people that we had heard about afterwards, and it's just awesome to see the simplicity of the gospel, how it can touch hearts. And, you know, what comes out of that, we don't know, but we know hearts are touched. When they're standing here with tears, whether they accept what God is doing or walk out and reject it, we know God touched them. And that's what it's about, you know, that God in His Spirit can touch a heart. Amen? And that's what the gospel has to do. That's what our ministries have to do. You know, touch our heart and touch people's hearts by His Spirit, by His presence. Amen. And if we can see that done, we're going the right way. Galatians chapter 1 tonight. I won't keep you long. We begin in verse 6. Hallelujah. Paul said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which really is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach anything else or any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Again, as we have said before, we say again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed, or let him be cut off. The message tonight, we're just going to talk a few moments, called to the grace of Christ. You and me, every whosoever will believer, is called to the grace Christ. Are you enjoying the grace of Christ tonight? I pray you are. But called, I am called to God's grace in Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. With that, let's go to prayer. Father, again in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you for those that have gathered in your name. We thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your peace, your strength, and your power. We ask you for help tonight, Lord, that you would anoint the preacher, the teacher. And Lord, that you would just fill our hearts with your word, your presence, with truth. Help us become more established in the faith a little more tonight than we were when we came. And Father, we just thank you tonight for all good things. We thank you for the sweet Spirit of God we feel in this house. And we praise you tonight for all good things in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. Paul, again, as we were kind of just starting to mention before we read the scripture or our text tonight, he was marveled that people that he had so spent years with, teaching them divine truth, teaching them what the true gospel is, that once he departed from them to go on to other missionary endeavors, a few months down the road, a year down the road, hearing about Judaizers, people that were coming in and subverting his very teachings, and not so much those that are teaching it, but the gullibility of people that he thought he had well established in the faith were moving away from the simple truths of Jesus Christ is all you need, and faith in him is all you need. And in him you are complete, period. You need nothing else but faith in Jesus Christ and his shed blood for you. Amen. And Paul would establish these churches in this region in that simple truth. Jesus Christ died for you. You were buried with him. You were raised with him into a brand new life. Now believe that every day. Take up his cross, follow Jesus, anchor into him, and be free from the tradition of men, from the tradition of law keeping, from the tradition of performance Christianity, and you will find God's strength, mercy, power working in your life, subduing your very sin nature on a daily basis. And in other words, you'd walk in a victorious life by the power of the endless one, Jesus Christ, living in you. Amen. And this is what he had established in them. In fact, if you read through that whole epistle to the Galatians, he would bring that out. Man, you saw miracles among you. You saw changed lives. You saw God's power. You saw peace and mercy and grace, and you saw what the gospel produced in your life and what it produced in your family and how God was providing all your needs. Yeah, to the point, as I just said, even when you saw and needed a miracle or two, God came through for you. Amen. You know, and I don't know about you, but when you're new in the Lord and you're fresh in Jesus Christ, I mean, what you see is just amazing, because it's such a contrast and contrary to the life I lived apart from Jesus Christ. Amen? Why would anybody ever want to go back to that old lifestyle? Go back to that old bar stool life? Amen? Once you're saved and washed and born again and God has cleansed you and you got a new heart and a new spirit, to go back from that, it marvels me. Amen? But Satan can subtly turn and pervert God's word to where your Christian experience is so frustrating, that it can make the best of believers at times at least ponder, is it worth it? You know, what's wrong? Where's God? You know, I was sharing in our little prayer time before service here tonight, you know, I went through a, 14, 15, 16 year season in my life where I've been gloriously saved by the grace of God. And I enjoyed that grace, and I began to see God move and bless and increase my life in many ways, opening up a nice job opportunity where I could provide for my family, where I had been really struggling before that, and I saw the goodness of God. But I can remember it. In fact, I remember it as clear as day. I was standing in a blacktop driveway, and I remember I made a decision to go and become part of a different ministry that would help prepare me for ministry, supposedly. And was it all a mistake? No, God allowed me to go that direction because he had to teach me things that I had to learn that I can teach you today. Amen. So sometimes, you know, sometimes the path we take, God's in it, but God's trying to teach us something. Because there was something in me that was bent on performance. You see, from a child, I had been rewarded for hard work. Okay? I was the kid that always got the pat on the back because he did the good job, the hard job. He was faithful. He was a hard worker. And boy, you get accolades for that, and you grow up in that. And so guess what? You realize that after a while, performance gets rewarded. Amen? And so you come to God and you realize you're in need of a Savior, and Jesus Christ saves you because by faith you start believing on him. You're born again, birthed into the kingdom of God. Your name's written in heaven's book of life. You got a new heart, a new spirit, and you begin walking with Jesus. And it's a wonderful thing, amen? But after a while, what was happening in my life is that I was kind of starting to forget about what really saved me in the first place, and that was faith in Jesus Christ. I begin to somehow equate that hard work always got reward. So if I worked hard for God and worked hard at my salvation and gave myself more than others to the work of God, in a way, then God would reward me, in a sense, for my hard effort and my hard work. And that subtly was endorsed by the ministry I was part of. The more you gave yourself, the more you prayed, the more you were faithful, the more you showed up, the more you did things for the church, as extracurricular things, you know, that was just showing you were the guy. You were, you know, and all the while thinking I'm earning something from the Lord, favor from God because of my great devotion. Amen. Now that's the pathway I found myself going through. Some of you maybe never been through that, but I did. And I think that came because as a boy, I began to realize that hard work was rewarded, and I thought God was the same. And so, of course, when you're part of a religious system that pats you on the back for your service in the Lord, your hard work in the Lord, of course, we begin to think that this was the norm. But little by little, I began to remember when I made that decision, something, I couldn't explain it, but I felt something like a glitch in my spirit. But yet I went that direction, like something changed. And I remember right not too long, within a few months after that, I almost lost my house that God had provided for because the finances weren't flowing like they used to. And of course, I was instructed, well, you know, God has a different plan for you, a different path for you, and you're going through the hardships and God is testing you. And so all the hard things that we were going through was just reasoned away as this is a great test of faith. This is God preparing you for harder days ahead and greater ministries. But I can look back now and realize what happened. This is what Paul is talking about. This is what Paul is trying to address to these believers. I marvel that you moved away from what got you in this thing by faith, and now you're to a gospel where you're being endorsed that the harder you work, the harder you work at it, the more you try, the more you observe the religious things that we set in order for you to obey, then the greater God is going to start blessing you and using your life. And then when all hell is breaking loose in your life and you're wondering what is going on, then it's just written off as a great trial of faith, or you got so much faith, or God's going to use you so much that Satan is out to get you now. Because you know, he's just trying to take you out, and because he knows you're a real threat to the kingdom because of the work he's going to call you to, you know. And so we spiritualize these things. We spiritualize the hardships, and we justified them. And we gave reason to why these things were happening in our life, and the difficulties and the frustration. And we were just told to just give it a little more effort, to try a little harder, to just apply yourself just a little more, to be a little more faithful, to do a little more things for God. And before you know it, and you hear about this, you hear the horror stories, but this is where people over time can lose marriages, lose their children to the world, because they get so busy in the things of God, thinking they're serving God and getting a blessing, that they forget to be a dad and a mom and to be a parent. I know of somebody right now divorced her husband because he hindered her ministry, kind of thing. And those kids, we've seen the fallout there over the years, and it breaks your heart. See, you know, we have left the simplicity of Jesus Christ, faith in him, and what he can do for me, and what he has already done for me and has already provided through his cross, and the grace that we enjoyed by just being a child of God, just being a child of God. Amen? And we've turned it from just being something to a doing something. Okay? And this is what Paul is dealing with. I marvel that you have so soon moved away from the one who called you into this grace, who called you into the grace of Christ, that you've enjoyed, that you have proved and seen, tested, that God was taking care of your every need as you were just abiding in him by simple faith, abiding in what I taught you, speaking as Paul would speak. And now you've moved from that and went to a different gospel. And that different gospel has a different spirit about it. That's the point I'm trying to make. I remember when I stood in that driveway, I remember the spot where I felt that glitch, because I had made a decision that I'm going to go this certain direction. And that was a long time ago. I was only a few years in the Lord. And something in that glitch, I believe, was the Holy Spirit lifting himself and saying, okay, go that way. Now, God didn't leave me. The Holy Spirit did not abandon me. But he lifted his hand that I could go in the inertia of my zeal and go the direction I felt my flesh, thinking it was spirit, wanted to go. And little by little, it fostered my pride. It built up my ego. It puffed me up. It made me spiritually arrogant and superior to others who were not giving themselves to the extent I was giving myself. And little by little, it produces a frustration, and the works of the flesh start manifesting in your life, even though you could hide it an hour and a half on a Sunday, or an hour and a half on a Wednesday night, or even an hour and a half on a Sunday night. Things were starting to happen within that weren't good. Wondering, what's wrong? What's wrong? Why am I feeling like this? Why is my heart musing on these nasty thoughts of people? Why is this hatred in me? This anger, this greed, this arrogancy. See, this is what Paul was addressing. I marvel that you're so soon removed from the one who brought you into this grace unto another gospel, which is not another. And then Paul would say, I don't care if it's me, an angel from heaven, I don't care who shows up in that church. If they're preaching something else that we're not pointing you to, then it's a different gospel of a different spirit, and it's not going to produce abundant life in you. It will not bring to you the benefits for which Christ died to give you. And how does God bring benefits to us? He extends it to us through this thing called grace. It is the grace of God that will open doors, close doors. It is the grace of God that will lift you, strengthen you. It is the grace of God that brings to you the promises of God for which Christ died. It is the grace of God that keeps your heart settled and strengthened and established when you're in His perfect will. It is the grace of God that will bring you through every circumstance with His divine touch, bringing you through everything you're having to go through that day. Amen. And bringing you out on the victorious side of that Red Sea. See, and we need that in our life. We need the power of Christ working in us. You know, I've learned this through the years too. The power of God isn't the volume of my voice. It isn't how much we're running the building. I mean, we see that all the time. I'll bet you in churches that don't preach the right gospel, they're jumping, they're hollering, they're hooting, they're hullabalooing, and they're doing everything else. You know, there's a lot of activity, and the boy looks good, and boy, they're stirring it. They got it going. But when that poor soul leaves there, and they go, and that heart has not been touched, changed, and there's no victory over their passions, their flesh, those struggles, what good has it done? So what do they do? Well, next time I'll jump just a little higher maybe. Maybe I'll run the building one more time. You see, they start looking for that holy grail that's going to bring them the victory, or at least what they're looking for, the victory. But do you realize in the last 15, 20 years, now the Holy Spirit is trying to bring the true church, the true child of God, back to the roots of the faith, back to the foundations of the faith, back to simple faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, who loved them, died for them, gave themselves for them, that they become loyal to Him and Him alone by their obedient faith in what Jesus Christ has done for them by hanging on that tree on their behalf. See, God is trying to bring the church back to that, and when the church comes back to that, God wants to refill them with the Holy Spirit. Refill them with hope and vision, with passion, but on the right foundation now. See. So God had to break me by taking me through what I had to go through. And God, the way God chastens is He does it in a way that the pressure, the pain, the wreckage, yes, but there's something in the chastening of God that just brings us back to Him for mercy and for more of His power and strength. And little by little, we become changed and we grow in this thing called grace, and we become an obedient child of faith, an obedient child, because we're anchored on the gospel as taught by the Apostle Paul. Amen? Amen? And so there's power in that. Paul said, I'm so marvel that you're, I'm bewildered. I can't make sense of this, is what Paul is saying. Why would you leave what we have taught you for another one? Because, you know, In this thing called grace, sometimes we don't see the sensational like you might see at the church down the street that is flashing the lights and running the building and stirring up the flesh, right? Our songs are more Christ-centered where we're trying to worship Him. Their songs are, oh, let's dance and shout and sing and jump and let's, you know, the songs are very, it doesn't leave you awestruck about how great our Savior is. It doesn't point you to the blood. It doesn't talk about it even. It just stirs you up. Amen. And if you don't believe me, do an internet search and look at some of the modern sanctuaries where they house 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 people. It looks like a nightclub stage. The pulpit is some little piece of bent metal with a little thing on it. The preacher, you know, wears his skinny jeans and his ratty t-shirt. And he gets up there and he's effeminate and he has a sermonette and, you know, and everybody just, oh, you got to come and see our church. You got to come and see our church. Well, when we say Promised Land, that's one thing I can honestly say. Don't come and see our church, but come and see the one we're talking about. Amen. That we're pointing people to. We may not have much, but we have Him. And we have His touch on us. And we have His support. And His endorsement. That's all we need. That's all we have. And if that's all we have, we are rich. We are rich in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Paul. I'm bewildered. Caught by surprise. How could you move away from what you've been taught? And why are you now going to churches and picking up gospels where, oh, they got it going on. Oh, they keep the law. Oh, they take you back into Judaism. Oh, we give our Day of Atonement offering now. We buy our prayer shawls and our Jewish books, and we study the feasts of Israel, and we do the feasts on the days of the year that Israel does the days of the feast, and oh, you know, isn't this wonderful? Isn't this wonderful? You know, but to the religious-hearted person that has departed from what Paul taught, that fulfills them. They get something out of that. But what they're not understanding, when you watch their life, what goes on in their life when they're not in the building, there's something severely missing and something severely wrong. See, this gospel will keep a man when all hell's breaking loose in his life. This gospel, should you and I be called to a Job experience, will bring us through, strengthened in the faith, to the point where you say, Satan, give me your best shot, man, because I'm in him. And there's nothing. The wicked one toucheth him not. But if I'm not in this gospel, Satan will make mincemeat of that believer that has left what Paul taught and embraced some other philosophy of Christianity. See? You know what I love about the true grace of God and the true gospel of Jesus Christ? It don't make super preachers and super spiritual people of anybody. It just makes true sons and daughters of Jesus Christ. Amen. And you in Christ are a very unique creation in God. And you are, my friend, and I say this carefully, God has made you a one-of-a-kind individual. Amen. And you don't have to compare yourselves by yourselves. Amen. Hallelujah. And you know what's beautiful? We can watch the process and watch what God does with you. Wow, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Oh, let's tidy this up here tonight. So the Galatians move from him. Paul made it clear that when one moves to another gospel, that they willingly or unwittingly deserted the Holy Spirit that called them into the true faith. And when believers remove themselves from the true gospel, Paul calls it, or it's considered, a desertion, a disassociation, or an abandonment. Paul termed it in Romans 7, this is spiritual adultery. You've left him, and you've joined yourself, married another. This is the heart of what spiritual adultery is. It's when we leave these simple truths of Christ crucified for me, and the Holy Spirit now undergirds my life, and I receive his grace. Day by day, he's leading me. He's keeping me. He's directing me. He's helping me. He's opening doors. He's closing doors according to his will, the dictates of his plan for my life. And when I leave that process and I hop over and I start embracing some of these other things, Paul called it, it's just like a man or a woman that leaves her husband and shacks up with another man while she's married to another. Paul used that picture in Romans 7 to say this is spiritual adultery. And that's how God views that. And that's why it's so serious. So when we're harping on this true gospel thing all the time, we're always harping on the blood, the finished work, Jesus crucified, and we're always pushing that, and the message of the cross, the gospel of grace. You know, why do they keep repeating this? Why are they always harping on this? Because that's all Paul taught, amen? He harped on them to get that into their heart, into their spirit, and stuck with them long enough that they could get that in their spirit and learn how to walk in this thing called the faith. Amen? Because you're going to skin your spiritual knees in this message. We learn this message over time. It's not an instant thing. And so as I learn just to solely trust Jesus Christ and that he's done everything I need and it's already a provision of his cross, and he will give to me, bring to me every day what I need. And if I need a new opportunity, a better job, a better situation, and if I take that to him in prayer, I learn to communicate to him, I learn to talk to him and depend on him, somehow he pulls the strings by his providence and things begin to work out together for my good because I am the called according to his grace. See? And that's all God wants you to see, is that there's an unseen hand that will work in your life by divine providence through the one who bought you and paid such a terrible price for your redemption, but did it because he loved you and will get you and bring you and keep you in his way, his path, that one day you'll take your crown and throw it at his feet because you'll say, Jesus, it was all you. It was all you. Amen. Hallelujah.